Father in heaven, we are thankful for this day, the day that you raised your son, Jesus Christ, from the dead, and that he was proved to be Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us today. Give me a mouth to preach your word, and us all ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have to say to us in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I'm not sure if you were able to pick up on it, the three scripture readings that we had this morning, but there's this motif of the sea that keeps popping up through some of the texts today. And the sea is actually a pretty big biblical motif, if you think about it. You've got the Holy Spirit hovering over the waters in the creation, in the midst of the chaos, when the world is being ordered. You have a massive deluge that the world is destroyed and recreated, and a small subset of people survive and take part of this new creation, Noah and his family. The Red Sea is split in two, and the people of God are redeemed through this massive force. And also in the narrative of Jonah, he is cast out into the sea, which is stormy and powerful, and he is eaten by a sea monster and brought into the depths of this terrifying sea. And then there's several stories of the disciples, who are fishermen by trade, are out at sea many times, and there's always storms and fear that kind of pops up in these narratives. And I personally am not a big fan of the sea. And some of you who know me might be surprised. Like, Kelly, weren't you a lifeguard for 5 years? Didn't you go to school by the beach at UNC Wilmington? Well, yes, and I've had enough of the sea. I've smelt too many seafood dishes, seen too many shark movies like Jaws, The Meg. Yes, I've seen Sharknado, not the sequel, but... And I've heard too many sea monster legends to like the sea. I'm done with it, thank you. I've had enough sea to be inoculated from the sea. When I was young, my parents would take my sister and I to the Caribbean for summer vacations. There was one summer in which we, the whole summer we actually were taking scuba lessons in the nearby pool. And I was cool with the pool. I'm a good... I didn't mean to rhyme there. I could see the bottom. I'm a good swimmer. I could see everything, so it's not that intimidating or scary. 15 seconds into the sea, in order to scuba dive, I was done. Seeing the teeming wildlife of all kinds of fish, colors, coral reefs. Yes, I saw a sea turtle emerge from the murky distance coming towards me, like in one of those horror movies. And I was out of that water, and in good time, because my mom and sister saw a manta ray swim by them. Yes, the giant stingrays with the little horns. You know what? That was all I needed. But there is also another trip we took in the Bahamas, where right off the coast, there's this massive sinkhole called Dean's Blue Hole. You can look this up. The water's really shallow and clear and beautiful until you get to this hole, in which it drops hundreds of meters down. All it is just black if you look down into it. And my imagination filled all the creatures and monsters that lived in that deep. That's all I needed to do was look there. And I was, and if I wasn't vaccinated once from the sea, that helped inoculate me from the sea permanently. So looking into the deep of the ocean draws out a primal fear in all of us. I mean, if we're all honest, we look out there and we just see these waves and we don't know what's underneath it. Not really. Not truly. It's dangerous. Extremely deep. It's chaotic out there. It's horrifyingly unknown. Last year, only 25% of the ocean floor has been mapped in detail. That's a pretty small amount. And I would venture to say much, much less has actually been explored. It really is unknown and terrifying. But in the minds of the ancients, it was even worse. In the ancient Near East, they saw the sea as personified as this fierce chaos monster. The pagan god, Yom, inhabited by sea dragons, the origin of storms that would pummel and destroy towns and villages. And that's actually true, if you think about it. I mean, hurricanes are born and gain power from the ocean. It's like the monstrous sea becomes airborne, gets wings, and decides to attack local towns and villages. There is something about the sea that is really monstrous. And in the eyes of the ancients, they saw this. They even saw the sea as synonymous with the underworld, Hades, the place that the dead go. We hear this in Job 38 today. God speaks of the sea in terms synonymous. Like, it's like if you were looking in the sea, you could find the gates of the dead, the gates of death itself. And in our minds, the sea is a personification of some of our deepest fears. The fears of nature, worse than that which goes bump in the night. Something that can wipe us out in a moment's notice. I'm sure some of you have seen videos of tsunamis hitting the coast and causing tons of damages, people getting swept under them and buildings toppling over. We know about hurricanes. I remember a few years ago, Hurricane Florence came through Wilmington and caused a ton of devastation. And it's even worse over in places like the Caribbean. It flattens whole islands. There's something of a dangerous wildlife embodied in the sea. We could think of sharks, crocodiles, maybe unknown monsters that we look out there. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, giant squids, sperm whales, all these kinds of creatures, they're real life monsters in the sea. Like, the legends are true. But in the Israelite imagination, the sea is a lot of this. It's dangerous. It's chaotic. But within limits. The sea is subservient to God. God created the sea. God sets limits and boundaries to the sea. It's even described in Job 38 today as a newborn infant who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out of the womb. When I made clouds its garment, think about it like a diaper, and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it, and set bars and doors like a crib, and said, thus far you shall come, no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. The Lord was there when the sea was born. He created it. It is subservient to him. And that's the theme that we see run, the theme that runs through Scripture often is how God himself relates to the chaos of the natural order embodied in the sea itself. The Lord God, according to the Scriptures, is sovereign over the sea. And in Scripture, we see three different ways in which this is true. We see he is creator, commander, and redeemer. So we're going to dive into this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2. The universe has been created, and it's described as formless, without void, and as waters. We hear that the Spirit hovers over the waters in the beginning. The sea represents a primordial, a chaotic, raw material. The God is created, and he sets out to order. He eventually separates it. He gives it boundaries. He separates the below and from the above, creates land, and prescribes limits, as we hear in Job 38. This is reiterated when God creates the Garden of Eden and establishes a water there as well. In Genesis 2, verse 10, we hear a river flowed out of Egypt to water the garden, and there it divided. It became four rivers. God created and orders the sea. But God is also the commander, continues to be the commander of the sea. This is what we hear in Psalm 107, today's psalm. Some went down to the seas in ships. This is verse 23 of Psalm 107. Doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. And then we hear about, I'm just imagining a rickety ship that's either for fishermen or merchants that are on sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Just imagine with me, being out at sea and being lifted up in these massive tidal waves and coming crashing down to low, deep points, up and down. Of course, they were seasick, but beyond that, they feared for their life. They feared they were going to be destroyed by the sea itself. And we hear, who is the one who's commanding the sea? It's God himself. But then in verse 28, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. It's like the Lord just saying, shh, calm down. And then the sea stopped. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and he brought them to their desired haven. God, we see in this text, commands the sea, raises it up as this deadly force, and then calming it to the still water. This teaches us two things about God. First off, that the Lord is in control of this terrifying force known as the sea makes him dangerous, makes him extremely dangerous and terrifying, more terrifying than the sea itself. In Isaiah 45, verse 7, we hear God himself say, I form light and create darkness. I make well-being and create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. And the Lord, in his sovereignty, is on a much, he's operating on a much higher level than we are. He sees our condition, but he sees a much larger and grander picture. He is sovereign over a much larger sphere than we can even imagine, which may to us seem like indifference. The Lord's powerful sovereignty might seem like indifference to our circumstances, but if we think about it, the God of justice who commands and governs this chaotic world, it's his, for his purpose, for his command. Who are we to cry out and call injustice to him? And we look at Job 38, and Job himself had some really horrendous personal life circumstances happen to him. I mean, he lost family members. His livelihood was destroyed. He ends up being covered with sores. And he mourns, laments, and weeps, and yes, complains. But God answers him by saying to him, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you'll make it known to me. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. The Lord paints a much, much larger picture than we can imagine. Yes, he is in control of the seas, of the land, the air, the universe, and it's dangerous. At the same time, Psalm 107 teaches us one other thing about the Lord. He's merciful. This powerful God who commands sea, land, air, all of the natural order, if he's on our side, it is for our good. Verse 28 again, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Made the storms be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. The Lord is merciful. He's full of compassion and mercy, and he hears your cry. He cares for you and for his people throughout history. Think about Job. Even though he calls out Job for being so small and him so much grander than him, he also blesses him, reestablishes family, gives him abundant blessing, is merciful to Job in his life circumstances. He can dissipate the stormy sea. The Lord can deliver us from distress and delights to show mercy in this way. So the Lord is commander. He's creator and commander of the seas, but he also uses the sea, this powerful, chaotic force, as a tool for redemption. This is what we hear over and over in the scriptures, and it's embodied really well in the song of Moses in Exodus 15. The people of Israel, just delivered from Egypt, cry out in praise, in song to the Lord. And listen to what they say in verse 4. Pharaoh's chariots and his hosts were cast into the sea, and his chosen officers were sunk in the Red Sea. The floods covered them. They went down to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversaries. You send it out, so you send out your fury, and it consumes them like stubble. At the blast of your nostrils, the waters pile up. The floods stood up in a heap. The deep congealed in the heart of the sea. And then skip to verse 10. You blew with your wind. The sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. This powerful force at God's command, he uses to redeem his people, prefiguring the waters of baptism. God divides, he brings order to the chaotic Red Sea and redeems his people, Israel. He rescues them from impending doom. Then the Lord repurposes the sea as a weapon and crushes the pagan armies of Egypt that are in hot pursuit of them. And finally, Israel, who emerges from the Red Sea, does so as God's reordered, redeemed people, with a similar calm peace as the sea, which became still after destroying the pagan armies. The Lord God is sovereign of the seas. He is the creator, he's the commander, and he is the redeemer, using the sea for good, for recreation. This is all backdrop to our gospel passage today. Because we hear a description about Jesus, who seems to be a mere man, but he commands the sea by word, and it is calm. Listen to this, verse 37. A great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling with water. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. Lord's got to get some sleep sometime too, okay? And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then today's text ends. Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey? Reading the Holy Scriptures, and then you read Jesus, and it points out that this is none other than God in the flesh, the Lord of creation in human form. Psalm 104, we hear, "At your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight." Psalm 107, again, "They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed." That's what Jesus did. And if you're familiar with any other of the stories of Jesus and how he calms seas, how he walks upon the waters? Job 9, verse 8, he alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Who alone commands the sea and it obeys but the Creator? Lord Jesus is God in the flesh, the Word made flesh, who spoke the universe into existence and even in his incarnation speaks words of order and peace to a violent storm, and it listens. Jesus is Lord of creation from sea to shining sea. He is sovereign over all things, even the chaotic natural order. So what do we learn from all of this? That Jesus is Lord over the sea. He's Lord over the chaos of creation. First off, we are really, really, really small. I mean, the sea is massive. The world itself is immensely huge. It's chaotic. It's dangerous. And God is much, much, much more powerful than that. He's much greater, much grander. It's really hard to have categories for him. He's so far above this in his sovereignty. But God in Jesus Christ also wields the seas, the waters of baptism. He is sovereign Lord over the seas of baptism and uses water to reorder and recreate his people into a renewed people. And if this is not you yet, you are invited to come to the waters of baptism in this way. And finally, Jesus himself, when he responds to his disciples, he first off calms the sea for them, but he turns to them and says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" Jesus, who is sovereign over the sea, sovereign over the land, over the air, over the chaotic natural order, which is ultimately it's not chaotic because it's at his command and control, he is the one to be trusted. Because he is in control and he is on our side, we should not fear. We should not be afraid. And the peace that Jesus creates over the sea, he can create over your life as well. Metaphorically speaking, what is the sea in your life? The chaotic waves that threaten to breach and overflow into your life and damage all aspects of your life? What is it? Do you feel like you're drowning, sinking into the deep? Call on Jesus. Ask him for that peace. And when we're actually in true dangerous situations, sometimes we forget to call upon the Lord. In the face of hurricanes, in the face of flooding, actual dangers like this, he's the only one we should turn to. He is the one who controls all of this. And so call out to God in Jesus' name because he delights to answer his people's cry. Call out to him and see what he does. So the next time that you're fishing or boating, standing on Wrightsville Beach with an umbrella, hiding under the sun and looking out at the sea, a little bit afraid, watching another mindless sea monster movie, or in awe and fear of the chaos of the world, how small you are in comparison to it, be reminded of who this is, that even the winds in the sea obey. Be reminded of our Lord Jesus, who is sovereign Lord of creation from sea to shining sea. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.